approved by God, so that we will rightly divide the word of truth. In other words, we can't make the Bible say just what we want it to say. We want to understand it in context, as it was written, and in our context. I'm going to read again, since we're thinking about leadership. This is the second one in our series, Following Jesus in Leadership. Just that short section in 1 Timothy, it comes up on the screen. And this is within a section, and there's quite a lot of teaching throughout Scripture about leadership, but this is about deacons or helpers, it's the same word, in the church. And historically, our team with the pastor and other ministers they're called deacons. We now term that leadership team. And we read this: church helpers must also have a good character and be sincere. They must not drink too much wine or be greedy for money. They should hold to the revealed truth of the faith with a clear conscience. They should be tested first, and then if they pass the tests, they are to serve. Their wives, which also reads female deacons, also must be of good character, mustn't gossip. They must be sober and honest in everything. A church helper or deacon must have only one wife and be able to manage his children and family well. Those helpers who do their work well win for themselves a good standing, so not a lot of money, a good standing, and are able to speak boldly about their faith in Christ Jesus. And we can follow the PowerPoint through, and she puts her time icon, thank you. Managed to save all the slides today, proving the point last week that do not look for perfect leaders, because we make mistakes. But hopefully we've got all the slides. In our series, which is Pilgrims on the Journey, that we've been following all the way through this year, and we've come to that stage of doing two, one last week, one this week, thinking about following Jesus in leadership. And what a point I want to make today, leadership is not just about those who become leaders, but about those who choose them as their leaders and support them in their leadership. Leadership, we need to consider our own attitudes and actions towards leaders, all of us. And that relates to church life, but it also relates to society and the public arena. What are our attitudes to our politicians and our leaders? What are our expectations of them? And to our community groups and projects where we work. And what do we as Christians perhaps have to say about leadership, particularly as we consider Jesus? So we've had a two-part reflection, and this actually happens as a reminder and a way of thinking, a discussion before our elections. We've had weeks leading into this election to pray, to nominate candidates, to pray for those whose names have been given to us. We don't just simply, when that moment comes, to put a mark by that person's name, you know, just think on the day, oh, here we go. You know, we've had a chance to think about this. Five people could have stood. Three decided that this wasn't the right time for them to stand, and two, that it is the time to put it to the test and to ask the church. So we consider, what are our attitudes and what are our actions that we bring to leaders and leadership, both as leaders, those of us who are, and those who choose leaders. Just to remind you of the verse that I use quite importantly, I think, last week in this. Jesus speaking, using the metaphor of the shepherd who goes ahead of the sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And that tells us three things about leadership just by looking at that. The sheep choose to listen and to know the voice. That the shepherd knows the sheep, and that the sheep choose to follow. Jesus said this when he was speaking about good as opposed to bad leaders. And in his culture, he saw a lot of bad leadership. Remember that. both in religious leaders and in political leaders. And he was commenting really on that. The model of the shepherd gives us a picture of leaders who are loving, who provide care, who provide protection, who provide food and guidance, and so on. And we started last week by thinking about... Can I have the next one? Thanks. What did we think were the things in Jesus' life that set us an example of good leadership? And I suggested 12 to you that I'm going to remind you of. And then you commented upon that, adding some others, and also sometimes developing something I'd said. And I just don't think it was exhaustive. We could have gone on and on and on. So I'm not saying these are the magical 12. I'm saying these are some that I suggested. In a minute, I'm going to prompt you. We need all sorts of leaders as a community, using the church as an example of community. We need those that we trust to lead our children and youth. And they perhaps have one of the most significant responsibilities, raising up a child in the way that they should go. Along with parents in the home, they need to be people that we trust. We also have leaders of our small groups that lead others in prayer and Bible study. We have leaders of outreach projects like our community sports, food and film project. And we have church leaders. And you could go on and on. There are all sorts of people that exert a lead, either over a smaller group or a larger group, that will need to have these marks of Jesus-style leadership in them. And we've... given people copies of what actually it means to be a church leader and a charity trustee here. We will have certain responsibilities that those in Jesus' day didn't, and so on. But the Apostle Paul was able to say, follow my example. No, he didn't just say that. He said, follow my example as I follow Christ. Imitate me, then, just as I imitate Christ. And that's a bit of a disclaimer, isn't it? Because leaders are admitting straight away, we are not perfect. And don't follow the things I say that are wrong. And don't follow the attitudes I have that are wrong. And so on. But we do want leaders who are genuinely following Jesus. Being a leader in the church is to do with spiritual responsibility as well as many, many practical duties that we have together. I want to recap quickly for all of you, those that were here and those that weren't, some of the things that we pulled out. And we're going to see 12 points. I'm not going to spend long on them, and Akin will move them on first. So if we can have the next slide. Jesus was willing to invest in people others would have dismissed. Jesus released responsibility and ownership into others' ministry. In other words, he didn't do it all himself. Jesus had a leadership succession plan. In other words, he told them, I'm leaving you. I will be with you through the Holy Spirit, but when I'm not here, and he had a plan, and all leaders should do that, and leadership teams. He practiced servant leadership better than anyone, hence the pile of shoes. Which doesn't mean we expect our leaders to always be washing people's feet, but it says something that we need people with the attitude of a servant heart. Okay. Jesus was clearly focused on obeying what God had given him to do. My meat is to do the will of him who sent me. But because he was full of the grace and the truth of God, he was flexible. So if something came up, like the woman coming and touching his garment for healing, he was able to adapt and deal with that. And you certainly wouldn't be a leader in Victoria Park Baptist Church if you weren't flexible, or in London, because so many things just throw themselves up. And probably in the whole of society, when society is like that, we're not moving by fixed patterns necessarily, except maybe in the workplace. Jesus was into his inner development, his relationship with the Father God. He had an inner life that showed in the outer life. And he held followers to high expectation. So he said to them, love one another as I have loved you. follow me. And leaders call other people to high expectation. What are you able, with God's help, to achieve? Are you living in a way that pleases God? And the next, that's a good one, thank you. Jesus cared more about people than about rules and regulations. He did respect certain traditions which had a purpose, without a doubt, but he challenged those rules and regulations which had lost their purpose. Also, he was well aware of the reality of human nature, both its positive and negative sides. To be a Christian leader is to believe in God and that God has made men and women in his image, but to be utterly realistic about human nature. He didn't need anybody to tell him. He knew the power plays, the jealousies, all the things. But he also knew the positive side. And so he affirmed that which was positive and good. This is great faith. I've never seen anything like this in Israel, he says, which was both a put down for some and a lifting up for others. And that's what Jesus came to do. He celebrated people's readiness and faithfulness in ministry. Just read the parables and see who he said will be rewarded. And the 12th one, he finished well. It is finished, he said on the cross. He finished what he started. He forgave those who wrongly accused him. He didn't die with bitterness or accusation. And he said of himself, I am the good shepherd. And that was a challenge to those who were very bad shepherds. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And I suggested to you that the distinctive of Christian leaders, whether it's of children's work or projects or leading church or small group, is that people lay down their lives. Do not be surprised, leaders, if you get tired from doing God's work. Jesus got tired. He prayed. We pray, even laying down personal ambition, so that God's will is done. So the next slide, please. That's the reminder. And as I say, there's loads more things that you can add to that. But in our mind, when we're thinking about what sort of leaders we want, both in the nation, that's another topic, I can't deal with that today, but in our church, who are we praying for and what are we praying for? And do we pray once the elections are finished? I said that to you about America. What attitude do you and I bring to leadership? I am also under authority, even though I'm the pastor of the church. To the people on the leadership team and to the church members meeting. What attitude do we bring? Do we realise that a good human leader needs to be part of a team? Not just people in your own family, but a team of other leaders also, who work together to achieve agreed aims, because no one person has all the gifts. People have strengths and weaknesses, as has been said. And we've agreed as a church that we have an aim. Whichever of the East London boroughs we live in, whether it's Tower Hamlets or some of the others, we aim to tell and be good news in the community. And if people ask us why we are here as a church overall, it's not just to be a cosy club, but to tell and be good news. That we go out in the week into the workplace, into the university, into the college, into our schools, and we are to be good news in whatever community we find ourselves, our neighbourhood and our workplaces. But we also to be good news within this community. And we have said that we would do this by being a living community of faith, love, and service. I can't unpack that because we should know it so well. I chose this image because it somehow said so much to me of hanging on to one another, of being yoked together in the kingdom of God. It showed me nails that were not manicured, that were working hands, hanging on. Now, I do see often we're hanging at God's hanging on to us like that, but also in our friendships, we should have those people that we are in good friendship with, so that actually we can pray together, encourage one another. I picked that image. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." He was speaking, as we said, about good leadership. And leaders and others have a responsibility to listen to those we've called to lead us. And leaders have that responsibility to get to know and understand those we lead. It doesn't mean that everybody on the diaconate will know everyone in the church, although they should certainly try to know people's names, but some will know one another's circumstances better than others. You don't, some of your business, you don't want everybody to know. We also have a very fast throughput now in East London in churches. Some people who are just, say, a month or 3 months with the church. When I first came to this church, people were often here for 30, 40, 50 years. That is very unlikely to happen. But we still have a lot of people that have been here 40 years. To keep getting to know new people is the responsibility of the whole church. That welcome and getting to know some. You will not know everybody, but leaders to know some and to know their circumstances. But you know, leaders will never please all of the people all the time. And if they do, there probably is something wrong. Jesus certainly couldn't, and he was aware that leadership was criticized. John the Baptist was criticized for the way he led, and he was criticized as well. Sometimes I come to this passage when I've been in a particularly painful situation, and perhaps some of these being very critical. "Now, to what can I compare the people of this day? They're like children sitting in the marketplace. One group shouts to the other, 'We played wedding music for you, but you wouldn't dance. We sang funeral songs, but you wouldn't cry. When John came, he fasted and drank no wine, and everyone said, he has a demon in him. When the Son of Man came, he ate and drank, and everyone said, look at this man. He's a glutton and a drinker, a friend of tax collectors and other outcasts.'" Jesus' comment, "God's wisdom, however, is shown to be true by its results." Watch out what happens through the life of Jesus. You and I very much include myself in this, because the way I treat leaders in this church is very important. If people said, "Look how she speaks to those group leaders," or speaks to the worship group leaders or whatever, and it was a bad example, that would be not good at all. And I know, because I've been treated well by people who were leaders, the way they speak is very, very important. We have a responsibility, I remind you this day, to support and encourage those who are working hard for God and us as a church. We do, and I know most of you really appreciate. This day, I say that I am so grateful to Lola and to Katerina for the work they've done, both as trustees and leaders, the good practice they've shown, the kindnesses, the hard work, the extra hours. In providing a welcome, Katerina sought to do that and draw around her a team of those that welcome willingly and with joy and with hard work, staying after we've gone home, before we've arrived. The prayer encouragement that Lola, alongside several other key people in the church, has brought us to, the introduction of weeks of prayer and encouragements in that way. I'm so appreciative of the church leadership team, our children and our youth leaders, our small group leaders. They receive no stipend, no allowance. They work in preparation, prayer, and practice. I just think we should encourage one another and thank God for them. It's done for love of the Lord and his people, for no other reason. It could not possibly be done for any other reason. So at times it's so good to thank them. And those who work with them, the welcoming team, as they seek to support their leaders by being reliable, to follow an attitude of kindness and welcome. And when the leaders of prayer call us to prayer, to say, yes, I will follow. Whenever I can, I will be there. It is not just the leaders we pray for, although it is, but for ourselves and our attitudes. Pray for the leaders. Paul requested this in Ephesians chapter 6. As he speaks to the Ephesian church, or I could speak to you about all the spiritual opposition we will face in the world, particularly at the moment, as that opposition is directed at those who follow Jesus, he told the church together to fight this with spiritual weapons, not the weapons people use in the world. Use spiritual weapons. And he particularly spoke about always praying for all God's people. And leaders should be those that pray for all God's people, but so should all of us. He didn't leave himself out. He didn't think he was a super saint. He said this, pray also for me, that God will give me a message so that I may speak boldly and make known the gospel's secret. For the sake of the gospel, I am an ambassador. There's a much misunderstood word. Pray that I may be bold in speaking about the gospel as I should. So let's pray for our leaders. I'm sure they feel they need it when they prepare for the children's work, when they prepare to lead worship. Let's pray for them. And the last slide is about growing a healthy church together. This is about us thinking about growing a healthy church and about following Jesus in leadership. I picked some images, which you can see clearly there. One is of someone teaching children. One is obviously of someone praying, humbling themselves before God. This is this image of holding on to one another resolutely. And this is of a team working together with the cocks giving the stroke. This is the time. This is the time. This is the time. The cocks is usually, which is why not many of us, maybe you, Marion, the lightest in the boat. Not taking up too much space, but giving the stroke. And the team pulling together. And that doesn't always happen in church life, but that's what we're aiming for. Get a rest in between on a race. You have the training, you have the resting, you have the rhythm. You're not always pulling hard. If you did, you wouldn't cope. So I picked those images. As we think about growing healthy churches together, I think about how people can be quick to criticise leaders. And they were quick to criticise Jesus. When was the last time you prayed for the leaders of your children and youth group? Not just those of you that have children, but as Becca did this morning, to pray for children and babes, because they're our responsibility. Well, we've seen often children growing up. I can look at you and see your children as they have grown. But I can also see those that are probably working with our children now that have brought new children into the world. Praying for them. Praying for your small group leader and the leaders of the church. And we exhort you when we have special projects being run, clapperboard or craft, to pray for those that are leading those activities, because they will set the tone, they will set the ambiance, they will set the ethos, they will give the Jesus mood or not to how it's run. A good Christian leader seeks to bring out the best attitudes, the best behaviour, the best service from God's people. It's not dissimilar to being a deputy head teacher or a head teacher, Hilary, I don't think. It's not dissimilar to teams that you may lead or in your business examples that you may set. You're seeking to do this, to give leadership, to draw the best, not to overwork, but to draw the best. And it's very difficult. It isn't easy. a good Christian leader therefore prays and cares about the Christian community and the communities in which we all live and work. A good leader is not someone who does all the work, but who draws and enables others to serve God and our neighbours as well. You can see why leaders need prayer. If they are to do this, to draw out the best, then they need our support and especially our prayers. In a few years, I will become a member of a congregation without leadership responsibility, and I will be put to the test as to the attitude I bring to a new team of leaders and leadership. These things change in life. How will you pray for your leaders of these different groups? And particularly today, we focus on church leadership. Well, I think we should complete the circle simply by going back to what we said about those things we valued in leadership. That gives us the clues to how to pray. Our own leaders will have certain core strengths and maybe some specific gifts. And that's why we particularly may want them on the leadership team if they're very good at administration and so on. But they will also have weaknesses. And we can pray about that quietly and for them. We want to pray for them, for they will need a balance, a rhythm in their lives, or they will burn out with the demands that life puts upon them. And so we've thought about the rhythms that we all need of prayer, including solitude, relationship with the church, work, and local communities, and the balance of work and rest. And we have that responsibility to pray. And where we can, and often this happens in great acts of kindness, people will do something for someone else or give them something or show them. In real acts of kindness, and the acts of kindness I have experienced are innumerable. And they help to make up for the times when the tongue speaks harshly and the heart is in judgment. Pray that in all this, our leaders may keep their eyes and hearts in following Jesus, that they're not just doing great superhuman effort, that they are able to be still and renewed in the Holy Spirit, because they will need wisdom to speak and to listen both to God and the people. They will need discernment spiritually and practically. They will need to know in practice what to do. This church was quite divided about the Brexit vote, and we believed it was right to give an open meeting expressing the concerns that could be for and against Brexit, and in no judgment at all to enable people to form a view. You need discernment often in a practical situation. Well, how do we bring people together, even though they may differ on something? Leaders need God's grace, and that grace means so much, not just God's love, but God's great supernatural wisdom, to know when to say yes, to know when to say no, to know when to say please, and when to say thank you, and when to say sorry, but also to speak the truth in love. We expect a lot of our leaders, don't we? We expect a lot, so therefore we need to pray for them a lot, because they're just human beings who love Jesus, who come with all the baggage they bring, but who want to serve. Everything that we say is needed in a good leader, we can pray for them, and the Bible guides us how to pray. Through the years, my fellow leader, Liz, has repeatedly brought to us and to the church the prayers of Paul for his people. And they have been an exhortation to us and to me to pray. In Colossians it says, "For this reason we have always prayed for you, ever since we heard about you. We ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, with all the wisdom and understanding that his Spirit gives. Then you will be able to live as the Lord wants you, and will always do what pleases him. Your lives will produce all kinds of good deeds, and you will grow in your knowledge of God. So you don't even have to invent a prayer. You can discover a prayer and use it to pray. Pray for leaders to finish well. Pray for leaders to have the time and the grace to do what they're called to do. Paul said to Timothy, I've done my best in the race. I've run the full distance. I've kept the faith. I think it's a good hint as well on some occasions to ask your leaders how you might pray for them. For if we care and pray for our leaders, they will be better leaders. But it's a partnership. I want you to hold that image of the hands. It's not just that you elevate some to leadership and you leave them to it, and then if they make a mistake, you comment. Christian leadership is much more to actually holding on to the people that we've called to be leadership, praying for them, encouraging them, being honest. There are ways, aren't there, of going to leaders and saying, I wasn't happy about that. What was going on there? But let's find a way, each of us, myself included, to support our leaders so that they will feel cared for. I'd like us just to be silent, really, and just to give the Holy Spirit a little bit of a chance to speak to us about what our prayer for our leaders is. And you may want to pick your children's leaders at the moment that are in a group with the youngsters now, or your small group leader, or somebody that takes a lead on a project. But particularly today, of course, we're focusing on those that try to seek to lead the church and take us where God wants us to go, under that direction of God's people. That's why we're a membership church. We don't employ leaders. We give a stipend to a pastor and we call leaders and we support them. So let's hold whichever of these images helps us. Let's hold it and just be still, each of us, before God. Like us to focus in on just that chorus, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Nothing will I fear. And in a way, let's put ourselves under that authority of God's word to speak to us. The responsibility to interpret that under the Holy Spirit, as Jesus has revealed, is the local congregation. We have an amazing responsibility to interpret the Word of God through the Holy Spirit and then to obey. So let's just hold that. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. each of us sits here today under the law of the land, committed to obey that law unless it contradicts the law of God. And therefore we have a higher law, the law of God, written to guide our lives. In our baptism, each of us said we would follow Jesus from life through death into life. We pray that your Holy Spirit will fill our hearts and descend from above, and that your word may rest upon us, the eternal God in Jesus Christ. May Jesus rest upon us. May that gentle pressure of the Holy Spirit be in our mind, our heart, our bodies, our strength, our souls. As we seek you, God, we humble ourselves before you. We turn from every wicked way. We seek you, Lord. We pray you will forgive our failings, our attempts. We pray for your healing for one another. We pray for that filling of your Holy Spirit. Lord, for those who come full and want to be overflowing, for the empty to be filled, we reach out to you. Fill us with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Anoint your people, we pray. Thank you that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We pray that you will constantly fill us, that we might be able to please you, to be your people. We ask this day that you will graciously continue to provide leaders in every aspect of this church, its ministry, and its mission. And wherever your people are gathered, we pray that you will be present to do that, Lord. And we pray that we may be able to know what seems good to us and to the Holy Spirit, that we have come to the mind of Christ. May your will be done, we pray, in our lives. In your holy name, amen.